Anybody remember the book by Dr. Seuss or the adaptation, the movie Horton Hears a Who? And Horton, this elephant, he can hear things, and he knows this speck of dust is alive, and he puts it in the clover bud and begins to associate with it, and he protects it. And everybody, all the other animals, think Horton's absolutely crazy, don't they? And Horton protects it with his life, and obviously, we would think the same thing about Horton if it was us, but inside of that clover bud, that speck of dust, is Whoville. And the little people there, and the famous quote from that movie or book is, a person's a person no matter how small. And, you know, our world is like that. People think we're absolutely nuts because they can't hear God like we hear God. And they look at us like the elephant Horton, and we are taking care of, in their mind, nothing, because they don't know that the speck of dust is actually something that is faith. Now, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God, but we also know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And like Horton, we sometimes are people who are very small, and we are not much in the sight of man, but in the sight of God, in the eyes of the Master. It matches up so much with the message tonight. That's why I had to get into that trio and make it a quartet for a moment, because like Horton, people think we are nuts and they want to tie us up and bind us down because we can hear the voice of God, the voice of truth that they cannot hear. But you know, I want to finish my part of this revival this Monday. You know, I got Monday, and it's the Mondayest of all Mondays, isn't it? And to try to keep you awake and alert, I thought about, God, what is it that you would have me to speak? And tonight I want to talk to you about how to shine. How to shine. The Bible in Philippians chapter 2, if you take your Bibles and if you're able, stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I see a few of my friends from Wilmington are here tonight. It's good to see you folks, and a couple other of my friends that I met this week or I've known for a long time. You have been great to me, Lighthouse Baptist Church, hospitable, friendly, over the top. Your pastor and his family, great people of God. Your pastor, though he's only a year older than me, is a mentor and a real pastor. He's a real pastor that shepherds, and he doesn't just shepherd you, but he shepherds young guys that are younger than him in ministry, no matter how old they are. And he has been a real blessing to me, to my church, to my family. Always, I'm always going to be in your debt for that, and would always be here to help. And when you guys are a part of anything here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, I am always praying for you guys. I'm thankful. You know, I drive past here on the way to my dad's house, and you know, we always look over. My family can attest to this. When we get to that bend of 35 and can see Lighthouse and the YMCA, we always stop and just think about you guys and pray, because I can say this, you know, Mordecai told Esther that if it wasn't for her, there would be another way that God would have done it. But I don't know another way. And if it wasn't for Lighthouse Baptist Church here and in Chillicothe and Circleville, if it wasn't for you guys and the Bevan family, I wouldn't be in ministry and my family wouldn't. We wouldn't be church planters. It really is that important to me. You are a true lighthouse. And I don't ever want you to forget that. Amen. And so, I'm not preaching about lights because you're a lighthouse. I'm preaching about it because that's what God gave me. But you really are a lighthouse. And thank you for leaving an indelible mark on me and my family. And we are just forever thankful for that. But we look here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 this evening, and commencing in this 13th verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, the word is, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for these revival services, this great church, this wonderful pastor and staff and their families. What an opportunity it is to come and be with the saints of God, to preach the word of God, and to have the word of God resonate in the hearts and souls of men, women, and children. Lord, tonight my only prayer is that Jesus is illuminated. That you hide me behind the cross. Don't let anything come out of my mouth that's not you, that's not honoring to you. Don't let anything interfere or interrupt us from meeting with you tonight. Father, I pray that you'd bless this time. And when the time comes and the invitation and appeal, that if there's one soul here tonight, one heart here tonight that's not 100% certain that they know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would not walk out of this building that way, but that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight and would walk out of this place saved, saved by your power divine. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, the verse in verse 14 teaches us some words here. Murmurings and disputing. Murmuring's a disgusting word, isn't it? I don't know that we use murmuring too much in the English language, but it's complaining. Number one, we need to shine without complaining. Isn't a complaining spirit a sinful spirit? Isn't it cynicism at its finest? Isn't complaining the opposite of who God is? Isn't complaining what everyone else does, while not complaining is what really truly shows us to be followers of Christ? It's easy to complain, but the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We are to be a lighthouse. We are not to dim our light or to be in this complaining situation. We are to be preachers of righteousness and creatures of the profession of Christ that we've made. And we are not to be complainers and complaining in our spirit. And you know somebody that complains about everything? Oh, they got a brand new car. Well, it wasn't the addition I wanted. They got some brand new shoes. Well, they're a little tight. I got a new dress. Does it make? Never mind. We're not going to go there tonight. We were door knocking up in Drexel near Trotwood. I saw something interesting. I look and see everything. You're always head on a swivel in that kind of area. And I saw three people sitting there, a man, another man, and a woman. And this is a portion where there are many folks who are on drugs and winos. And it's a homeless town, a homeless village. And they were all out back and they had a stick of some kind of meat, probably squirrel or pigeon, something they could catch. And they were rotisserating it. That's not a word. It was like rotisserie pigeon on a fire they had made in a trash can. And they had this piece of meat and they had a bottle of liquor. And the man and the other man and the woman were passing it back and forth. And everybody was taking a bite off of that stick. And everybody was taking a drink. And it made me think this. One, it's disgusting because I don't like eating after nobody. But what it really made me think was nobody was complaining. Everybody was eating. Everybody was in unity, taking a piece of the pigeon or a drink of the liquor, and they were all passing it around that fire, sharing that fire. And sometimes, Christians, we complain about the smallest thing, but some crackheads had unity, and we're sitting around the fire, and everybody got to eat, and nobody was complaining. Sometimes we come to the church fellowship, and we're complaining, I can't believe they didn't have iced tea today. I can't believe there was no chocolate chip ice cream today. I can't believe they didn't have the pepper jack cheese for the burgers. I can't believe we came today and they didn't have salt and vinegar potato chips. I mean, we are a spoiled brat people. And we complain and it makes us look like the rest of the world. But if we really want to shine, we need to stop complaining. Don't you let some Drexel crackheads be more unified than the church. I know we don't really talk about crackheads in church, but these crackheads were unified. And I know I called you raggedy, but today I'm likening you to crackheads. I know they're never going to invite me back again. They said they called me raggedy, called us a bunch of crackheads. He ain't never coming back here again. But you know what I figured out about those crackheads? They could hear something I couldn't hear. They were eating off that stick, and I would have been complaining. I want to eat after them. I don't know you like, I want to drink. I'm not going to drink anyway, but I don't want to drink after you. But they could hear something I couldn't hear. They heard, our stomach is hungry, and this is all we got to eat. This is the only bottle we can have, and so we better take care of it and share it. This is the only warmth we can get from a fire in a trash can, so we better surround ourselves by it and get ourselves warm by the fire. They heard something different. When I was here, I can't wait to get back to the church van and turn up the heat. I can't wait to get to Burger King, McDonald's, Chipotle, a Chick-fil-A, Cane's, whatever you like, and get my wallet out and spend some money. And no, I don't want to share mine with somebody else. This is all my number one meal with a diet Sprite, and this is my number one meal with that Chick-fil-A sauce, and no, I want to share. See, they heard something different than I heard. And when you're saved and you're a light for Christ, we should be hearing something different than the rest of the world. We shouldn't be seeing what the problem is. We should be looking and seeing what the blessing is. And where the blessing came from, they didn't see that they only had one little piece of pigeon on a stick. They just saw food. They didn't see that they were backwashing and drinking after one another. They just saw that it was something to calm their nerves and maybe have their mind off of their situation. They didn't see that it was just one little fire and that they were living outside. They saw a flame that was keeping them warm. They didn't hear what I heard. They didn't see what I saw. Just like the animals in Horton, here's a who. They couldn't see. They didn't want to believe this speck of dust like Horton. But we must be like Horton and stick out and shine in this perverse generation. But number two, we see that we got to shine without corruption. Shine without corruption. In verse 15, Paul admonishes the church that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. It brings us and hearkens us back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 5. And the Bible says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Because the rebellious church in the wild, the church of Israel, was rebellious against God, and they hated everything God gave them. Here's some manna. Well, we want some quail. We want flesh. And God said, here's quail. Well, now we need water. We're thirsty. And listen, Moses is so much better than me. Because I wouldn't have hit the rock. I'd have hit something else. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, as soon as Moses went away for a little bit, even his brother is down there. They say, these be your gods that brought you out of Israel and fashions these calves. Even Aaron's down there. And this wasn't, remember we talked about yesterday the kind of dancing that was doing? It wasn't the sound of war Joshua heard. This is the club. This is Club Israel. They down there getting sturdy with it, doing the stanky leg. They in Club Israel down there at the bottom. Moses said, oh, no, no, no. That ain't war. That's them people in the club down there. They down there listening to that secular stuff. We gonna go down there and bust that up. Moses is so much better than me. He made them lick up that gold. Boy, I'd have took that rod, and I'd have been like Barry. I want to be Barry Bonds. That's not good. Let me think of somebody else. I'd have been like Ellie De La Cruz out there. I'd have been swinging at everything. I wasn't the right pastor for that job. Amen. I could have never been the pastor of the people in the wilderness because we would have had some problems and situations, all right? We'd have had some tents moving if it was up to me. But can I tell you that we cannot be a corrupt people? We can't have true revival in our land or see people saved if we're dirty inside. If you're corrupt, if your communication's corrupt, if your activity, your actions, if you come to church but your mind is corrupt, you leave church and you're on other things and you're doing things you ought not do and you're saying things you ought not say and you're living like you ought not live, listen to me, we are not going to be able to shine with corruption. So we must shine without corruption. Some of y'all aren't old enough, but, you know, back in the day, young guys, when you called a girl's house, there was no cell phones, and you had to call on a landline. And the landline was attached to the wall, or if you were cool, maybe you had a cordless phone. You know, a cordless phone was like the best thing out back in the early 90s, late 80s. Boy, you'd be on that cordless phone back there, you know, and me back in the day, before I met my beautiful wife, I'd be back there on that phone talking to girls like, hey, girl. What's up? How you doing? But here's what you have to be careful of. See, there could be some corruption on the line because her daddy could be on another phone in the same house listening to your conversation. And you hear that little, I think somebody's on the line. I think somebody else on here. Now, for me, as a little brother, I was always on the line when my sister was on the line with her boyfriends. I was listening. Now, most of my life, I've been this big, and her little boyfriends was little, so I'd be listening to see who I had to beat up the next day of school. You know what I'm talking about? But my sister didn't like that. She said, the line is breached. It's compromised. And once the line was compromised, my sister was going to bring corruption to my face. You know what I'm talking about? And after corruption, something else takes place. When there's compromise, see, as Christians, when we begin to compromise, that's when their corruption comes in. That's when we start see things happen. We compromise and then corruption. When we compromise reading our Bible, compromise our church attendance, compromise our prayer life, compromise our language, compromise our purity, compromise our friendships, that's when corruption sets in. If you want to shine, we must keep corruption out of our life, because ultimately, compromise, oh, you know, it's not that big a deal if Johnny plays sports on Sunday. He's not missing out on much. Pastor Bevan, how many professional athletes have come out of Lighthouse Baptist Church in these last 15 years? How many preachers have come out of here? No offense. Oh, man. Hey, babe, warm up the van, because they're not going to like this. I'm not the greatest athlete. I was okay. But what I've learned about sports is this. A lot of times you go to the sports game and you love your kids and you think they're really good, and they're really just not that good. Why ain't Johnny never getting in? Because he's not any good. I mean, moms are the worst. Dads, we kind of sit over there like, yeah, he's just not, probably ain't going to play this year. Moms are like, why isn't Johnny getting in, honey? Yeah. Well, babe, you know, he's just as good as the other kids. He's just as fast. And then the realization's going to hit you someday. Yeah, he's pretty awful. You know, we done paid all this money for him. We done took him out of church. And we over here practicing all the time on Wednesday and Sunday. And we got him over here. And the problem with that is after 10 years of full-time ministry, after being in a large church my entire adult life and seeing other large churches like this, I don't know any professional athletes from any of those churches, but I know hundreds of preachers and missionaries. What happens is we compromise and we make excuses. Well, it's okay if he just misses one or two Awana classes. It's okay if he just misses this, but it leads to corruption. And then here's what happens. Maybe it's not like this at Lighthouse, but it's been like this in my experience. All these kids that have been in high school and Awana, they're fired up for Jesus, and they go to camp as soon as they graduate because they've had compromise from their parents. Then corruption sets in. Then you can't find them with a search warrant. How come our youth groups are 100 people, but our college and career class is 10? Because we've compromised. And that starts with you and me. We're the compromisers. And then corruption comes in, and then we got the audacity. See, compromise brings corruption, but then corruption brings crying. Then you got the audacity to cry, I can't get my son back in church. Well, you compromised and didn't have him in church when you could have had him in church, when there was no, oh, yes, you got to be there. There's no compromising. You're going to be there whether you like it or not. Yes, you're going to be there, but now they don't want to go because you compromised and you got the audacity. Now corruption came, and now you won't cry. If we want to shine, we've got to get rid of the corruption in our lives, in our heart, in our spirit. You can't serve both God and mammon. All that's going to bring is corruption. All it's going to bring is wrong things. When somebody compromises, when the line is breached, that's when Satan's trying to tap in. Who's on the line? Yeah, it's Satan. You don't need to go to church tonight. You don't need to read your Bible today. You don't need to pray today. Hey, don't worry about tithing. Somebody else will give. I start talking about money. They got quiet. We better go on, move on about that. Babe, you didn't start the van. I told you start the van. Might have to get up the highway. Oh, we're going to compromise. The furnace went out. Let me compromise my tithe and make that. But you didn't turn off that Netflix account. Let me compromise. Oh, you still paid them little fees for little Johnny's baseball team knowing he ain't going to never get to play because he ain't no good. Y'all laughing. You think this is for real. There's some people in here right now, don't point no fingers, who knows that their kid ain't getting no PT, and you mad, and it might be them. I wish the best for these kids. I encourage them. I love sports, and if they can do it without compromising, I'm all for it. I've been praying for 6 years now that one of my staff or myself wins the first round draft pick of the Cincinnati Reds that goes to play for the Dayton Dragons, and with that $1.2 million signing bonus that he ties to the ABC. You know what I'm talking about? I want somebody to be good. I've been thinking to myself, I'm not very good at math. Like 1.2 carry to one. Okay, that's a lot of money we're gonna get over here, ABC. I can do some things with $120,000. Say, we're not gonna have two services no more. We're just gonna build something new. They say, you can't do that with $120,000. It's a great start. We just gonna wait till it gets to the big leagues and stay real close to them. When we get that $40 million contract. Now, listen, you add it up how you want to add it up, but last time I checked, $40 million, the tithe of that's $4 million. Now we talking, baby. We talking big stuff now. Now we're talking about heated seats on the toilets and the bathrooms. I mean, I only have two plans. Pray for my 67-year-old secretary to have a baby and that. That's all I got as far as miracles. You ever seen someone compromise something in their life and then see the corruption come in? Married men, listen to me. Do not compromise the time with your wife. You love her. Spend time with her. You compromise time with her for your buddies at the golf course. There's a time and place for that, but you compromise. I'm getting off topic for a moment. I see these young guys. I don't want this to sound crude, but this is just how I have to. Do not compromise time with your new wife to play video games till 2-3 in the morning with your boys. I be thinking to myself, when I was 22, 23, and I was married, the last thing I wanted to do was be on some video games at 2-3 in the morning. I mean, I'm being as holy as I can. Enjoy the wife of your youth, amen? And I be thinking to myself, you got to be a certain kind of stupid to be on there shooting fake army people instead. I mean, you know what I'm saying. If it was a men's meeting, I would explain, but I'm just going. I mean, don't compromise that. Women, don't compromise the time with your husband. And don't compromise his testimony. Because this happens in church a lot of time. My husband, he's such a dummy. He can't do nothing. Always trashing him and tearing him down. You think that's going to work? That's going to bring corruption. Even if he's stupid. Don't tell everybody else he's stupid. You go to him and say, honey, I think you're a little stupid. And we need to get this together for the glory of God. You know, we're so funny as people. If anything else is corrupt around us, we want it fixed. If you got something broken at your house, it's corrupted, it's breached, it's not right, you want it fixed right now. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And you're not willing to compromise. But our relationship with God, we're so willing to compromise that a lot of times. Can I be very personal for a moment? Sometimes as a pastor, I'm willing to compromise my personal relationship with God for my study time, for messages, or for people in the flock. And what I've learned over these last 6 years and being a senior pastor is that time that is my time with God cannot be compromised. Sometimes my phone just goes off and my congregation knows you just aren't going to be able to reach me because I'm in deep study and preparation and prayer with the Lord. Sometimes my family knows. I'm going to go downstairs and their mother has said it for years. Y'all need to leave Dad alone because he's down there with God or he's studying. I can't compromise that time. I can't compromise my personal reading of the Bible. Not studying, but my personal preparation for my own heart. Not preparation for a service, but for me. Because what I've learned about that is when that gets compromised, then the flesh comes out and then I'm corrupt. Then I get to church. Contrary to popular belief, the pastor doesn't like everybody that goes to his church. Look, Pastor Bev, he don't want to answer this question. He don't want to look at me right now. And maybe it's different here. But I tell my church all the time, I don't like all of y'all. Some of y'all I'm just putting up with, amen? And when the Lord calls us in glory, and we all get caught up, when the roll is caught up yonder, you'll be there. But I hope you live on the far east of New Jerusalem while I'm on the far west. I don't really want to be with all of y'all. They said, when we all get to heaven, and I add to that song, I said, when we all get to heaven, put me over on the other side away from these fools, God, amen? But you know, if I'm compromising my time with God when I come into church on Sunday or Wednesday and I see that one that kind of drives me nuts, that gets on my nerves, that always got a problem, I don't want to minister to him at that moment. I want to let my flesh come out. They say something. Every church has one. We just did a major remodel in our church, and I haven't heard any bad or negatives, but I've heard pastors have done remodels and people come in and complain about something. Our people haven't said a word, but I've been around pastors. They say, yeah, we just put a new carpet, and the first thing somebody says is they come in and say, I don't like the color of the carpet. If I've compromised my relationship with God that week, I'm going to slap somebody right in the mouth. I'm going to become a striker. I'm disqualified, and me and my wife, we're going to have to pack up and move because... I can't be a minister anymore. So I can't compromise that time with God. I can't be corrupted in my spirit, in my soul, in my flesh, because in order for me to be a light that shines, I've got to shine without corruption. And then we've got to shine without covering. Verse 16, shine without covering. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The imagery here is like the Statue of Liberty holding her torch out, that it's a light that's not covered. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, 15 and 16, you probably know these verses, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, that's a basket, but on a candlestick and give it the light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's many people's life verse, and it's a great verse. But it literally means this light that's in you, don't extinguish it because of corruption, or don't extinguish it because of complaining, but let it shine bright. Now, I told you, one lady said she had wrote down, she thought I was about to be real spiritual and give you all the Greek when I said, hey, Bo, you know, help a brother out. She thought that I was about to be real spiritual. But you know, what's funny about that is when I look at that and I think about certain things, we are so quiet about our light sometimes. We cover our light. And I realize we're independent Baptists, and I'm not asking you to be Bapticostal and scream and shout and run the aisle, and that's foolishness. We're not talking about that charismatic world. I'm far against that. But I would say this to you, that in the Bible, Old and New Testament, there's a time where people shout. There's a time where people just say, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Those words came from the Bible, by the way. We didn't make them up. My church always says, why do you say amen and amen? Read the Psalms. Read your Bible. My church likes it when I say, I wish I had a Bible reader in here, because then you know why I say amen and amen, because that's what the Bible said. Let it be so and let it be so, because when it gets real good to you, somebody ought to say something every once in a while. Let your light so shine before men. And you know, here's what happens in church. In church, we're so quiet and we're so attentive, and an independent Baptist can become almost Catholic. Just, you can't say nothing. Somebody's going to look at me if I raise my hands and if I praise Jesus, and somebody, if I shout during the song, if we laugh during the preaching, somebody's going to get so offended and nervous. But here's what I want you to know. There's lost people in here, and if you look bored to death during church, why would they want to get saved? Don't cover your light. Let your light so shine. Every once in a while, you ought to say, oh, that was good, preacher. You ought to cheer Pastor Bevin on like you was at the Cincinnati Reds game. He gives you one of those Bible bars. You ought to say, oh, preacher, do it again. You know what I'm talking about? You ought to sound like the hyenas in the Lion King. Ooh, Pastor, do it again. You ought to get real excited when something comes, because everything in this book is good. Everything in this book is right. Everything in this book got power. Everything in this book is a sword that cuts through bad things and tragedy and hard times. Everything in this book is alive. And you ought to get excited every once in a while about what's in this book. You sit there and act like you just are not surprised anymore. When I read stuff in the Bible, Sometimes I would go into myself, I know I've read that before, but man, that doesn't. Sometimes I'm by myself in my office reading the Bible, and I call out, say, hallelujah. People be walking by like preachers in there talking to themselves. The Bible says speaking to yourselves in psalms and song. I think that when I read my Bible, when I see that I'm supposed to let my light shine, and Jesus says I'm not supposed to hide it, I think sometimes we are so nervous about what other people think or are going to say that we put a cap on our light. I live in the city of Troy in town, and we have a fire pit in the backyard, and it's legal to burn natural brush and things back there, but I have a bit of a fire problem. I don't want just any old fire. I want a big fire. My wife has been quoted as saying, do you really need that much lighter fluid? I don't, but I'm going to use it anyway. And when I first light that fire, being a former Boy Scout of America, I want the fire to rage high in the air. The only problem is there's some power lines right over top of our fire pit. Now, it's not a competition in my neighborhood, but I noticed since I moved there that some other people have some fire pits. And I refuse to let their fire be better than mine. And so they don't have electrical lines over their fire pit. And so I've had to decide, how can I get my fire to burn wide instead of high, and that it will continue to burn. And so with much preparation and study, I figure out a way to have the best fire on the block. Amen. And keep that thing going. But I don't want them not to see it. We have an 8-foot privacy fence around our property, and they can't see what's wide. So every once in a while, so that they know that my light is still going on, I spray some more lighter fluid on it. So it will boom and blow up, and I kind of look around. And I say, did they see it? Did they see it? Because I want them to know how great our fire is. Every once in a while, as we're being revived, we need to put some spiritual lighter fluid on our fire so that everybody can see how bright our God is. Let your light so shine. Don't cover it. There ain't never a time where I'm like, let's douse the fire. Let's make it a little bit taller. Let's dim it a little bit. For what? Better get some more sticks and put it on there. I done taught my daughters how to do it. Now my daughters are like, fire, yes, let's go. You know, they got hair. I'm like, okay, baby, now pull your hair back because this could get dangerous. You know what I mean? You know, the power, the light, the Bible says in him was life and the life was the light of men. That power, that light is in us, say folk. We can shine that light, and it glorifies, it makes God the Father, it makes God the Son, it makes God the Holy Spirit bigger in the eyes of other people. So when a lost person comes in here and they go, you know, they're pretty excited about this Jesus fella. Seems like they really want me to know about him. They go, well, you know what? I'm interested. Have you ever went anywhere or done anything and wanted to go back where it was boring and stale? If you saw a bad play, you wouldn't go and recommend it to anybody else. You say, nah, don't go see it. It ain't no good. If you went and saw, I mean, think about it in professional sports. Last year, this time, nobody was at the Red Stadium. Now, this year, after last year's resurgence and some people are good and some prospects got caught up, now everybody wants to go to the Reds game. I wasn't going to drive down 75 to see that sorry bunch of bums last year. Now they're good. I want to kind of go and check out some of this young talent and see what's going on. Why would anybody want to join in with what we're doing? Why would anybody want to be a Christian if it's just dingy, dim, dull? Again, I'm not asking you to run up and down the aisles. Again, then they're going to think you're a drunker. We don't want that either. But I am saying, it's okay to smile. Well, I'll be preaching to people, and like, I think there's some people's job in the church to make sure they don't smile. I mean, sometimes I'm giving my best stuff. I'm giving my best dad jokes. You know what I mean? I'm trying my very best. Pastor Josh, I went down south and I caught some alligator, but I couldn't cook it because all I had was a crock pot. I'm giving them that kind of stuff. I'm giving them that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And there's people in the church that are like this. Say they didn't like that one. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're trying to give them everything you got, like all the material you can think of, and they are not going to get happy about anything. And then I say, well, maybe they just don't like silly jokes. Maybe they're spiritual. Maybe if I say just a simple verse, it would get them on fire. And I say, you know, to the glory of God, and I start to hack and preach and give them something, and they still like that. I'm like, Jesus loves you. If I was a lost person and I watched that guy, I'd never come back. Because if somebody that's always here, my perception is they're always here, isn't excited and happy about this, if they're not going to let their light shine, why would I even get my lighter out? I went to Miami Valley Hospital the other day, and I was looking, and I know some of you probably went through this, and I don't mean to cause bad memories, but we went through it 5 years ago, but they were talking on the television about the tornadoes of Xenia, the anniversary of that, and you know, 5 years back we had tornadoes in Dayton. My family was a part of a new roof and fence through those things, and lots of people in our church family affected. But I was thinking about that, and I'd never thought about it before until I saw that. And I went to Miami Valley Hospital, and all these people on life support and ventilators, and I said, what do you do if the power goes out? How do these folks stay alive if the power goes out? Because we were without power for days when the tornadoes came through in Dayton. What happens? And the sweet little nurse said to me, she said, oh, Pastor, there's no worries. Because right down the hallway there, there's a generator. And it has no external power. But as soon as the power goes out, that's when the generator kicks in. And it will light this thing 10,000 times brighter than what the power is on a normal basis. And sometimes when your light seems very small and dim, like the Who's, and sometimes when your light seems like nobody's paying attention or listening to it, like Horton, that's when the Holy Spirit's power kicks in. That's when the generator, when Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to say, the Holy Spirit will tell you. He'll bring to your remembrance what you need to say. He'll remind you how to be a light in the darkness, in this perverse generation. He'll remind you what to do. In those moments, that's when the power kicks in. Sometimes you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to say in church when everybody else is shouting. Don't say nothing, just do this. Let us know you're alive. Let us know you're alive. If the pastor says everybody agrees, just do like this. Let us know that you're paying attention to what's going on. And it doesn't have to be that you're just out front. Not everybody's running out front with the torch and the light. Some people got to be in the background. But when the time comes in this dark and perverse nation, the Bible says there, when it's time that you hold forth, that you hold strong the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. When I'm struggling, when I'm wearied, when I'm hurting, when I'm depressed, when I'm downtrodden, at that moment, that's when the generator kicks in and lights this thing up. I asked some friends to help me out tonight. You know, it doesn't take very much light for people around you to notice that something's lit up. I asked my friends today, Brother Braden, if you guys are do what you do, go ahead, brother. And I asked some of my friends, if you would turn on your lights for a moment there, my friends that I asked to put your lights on, if you just turn your lights on, just look around you for a moment. And just look around you for a moment. It's dark in this room. I only asked for a few people to turn their cell phone lights on. But you know, it doesn't take very much light for us to notice that something's different in here. And if you just look around and you just see some lights. Now, if you got a cell phone in your pocket and I didn't ask you, turn your light on. Go ahead and turn your light on and hold it up. If you got a cell phone in your pocket or in your hand, just hold that up for me. And then look around here and see what's going on. Now, this is hundreds of lights here in Xenia, Ohio. But what if everywhere all around Christians would hang their light up, and even though the world is dark and perverse, but what if we had this many people willing to shine their light? Is that enough light for you to see your neighbor? Look to your left, look to your right. Do you see that person's face without even having to shine it right on them? Can you see their face? Amen. Can you see them? Is that enough light for you to get some work done? Is that enough light for you to give God some praise? Is that enough light for other people who might not understand what light looks like in the darkness to go, there's something different about how that shines? See, I'm a simple, simple preacher. I'm not here to teach you because you have a pastor and staff to do a fabulous job of that. But what I am here to do is to challenge you. And we sometimes as Christians forget how to shine because we begin to complain and be like everybody else. We begin to cry and we begin to act like lost folks. And you can turn it back on, brother. We start to act like, yeah, there you go. We start to act like everybody else. We start to allow that to help us in our compromising life. We start to say, well, it's so hard to be a Christian in this day and age, so I'm going to compromise. I'm not going to step out on my faith, but I'm just going to get like everybody else. I'm going to compromise my kids' education so that they can have some friends. I'm going to compromise this because I don't want that to happen. I'm going to compromise my Bible reading because Jeopardy's on. I'm going to compromise my prayer life because somebody's got something to do outside. And what happens is it brings corruption in our lives. And then once that corruption comes, what we tend to do is we cover the light because then we're embarrassed because here's what we're going to be called, a hypocrite. Because we've compromised and we've been corrupted because we've been complaining. And so now I don't want everybody else out there to look at me and call me a hypocrite because they know I'm not right. So I can't shine my light as bright as it should be shining. I wasn't going to even bring it up because it's not pertinent, but it is something that the Lord put on my heart I'm just led to say this and to bring this out. See, our light's always got to be shining. We can't dim it for any reason because life is but a vapor. Then it vanisheth away. And we actually have one great commission, one great command that God told us to do. And it was to go ye therefore. And you think you got all this time on earth to do that, and really you don't. Really, it goes away very quickly. And I would hate to get to heaven and the one command that God has given me, the one real command Jesus gave, the Great Commission, is wrapped up in Matthew 5:16, to let your light so shine. That's how you let your light shine, by illuminating who he is. By illuminating who the Father is, by illuminating who the Trinity are. That's how you really, it's the Bible summed up, the Bible command summed up to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy spirit, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the most loving thing you can do, is to be a light in the world. And I thought about that. Have you ever watched someone's life light dim and to the point where they're extinguished? Have you ever watched someone die? You know, when people die, Paul says, we don't want to sorrow. We don't want to act like lost people when saved people die, because we're acting like people who have no hope. We're acting like the people, the animals in the jungle around Horton. They say, he's crazy. Why can he be taking care of this speck we can't see? And the lost world, when they die, they're upset and crying. And Paul says, we ought not act like that, because we know not only is a rapture coming where we're comforted, where we're going up with the Lord, but we should comfort one another with those words. Not even a month ago now, I watched my mother, been battling cancer 3.5 years and breast cancer, and had surgery on that, and it came back, and went to her brain and had brain surgery, and it came back and got into the brain fluid, and they called and said, it won't be long. We're going to put your mother in hospice care. And so March 12th, I left my home and drove to Wilmington and began to stay with my father and take care of my mother for those 11 days of hospice care and medicine every 2 hours just to keep her comfortable. And on March 25th, my mother passed away and went into glory. And we watched her life leave her body. We watched her life be extinguished. And my father, 45 years of marriage to my mother, all of her grandchildren are there. My wife, my brother-in-law, my sister, the hospice nurse are in this room. Tears are flowing. And it's a weird thing when somebody passes away in their home, and as the funeral director came to get her body and she's being moved out, my father, 66 years old, he said to his grandchildren, "Let's not sorrow outside like lost people that have no hope, because the neighbors are watching and we're saved. And this will be the greatest example of how we know that she did not die and that we don't have any hope, but that we can let our light shine before these men, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven today." And so as they put my mother into the hearse and we all stood outside, yes, there's sniffles, but no screaming out, no yelling out, why? Because even though maybe the neighbors can't hear what we hear, we know that the Lord is saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." And even though the neighbors may not be able to hear that and see that speck of dust, we in that moment learned how to shine. And I encourage you tonight, no matter what goes on in your life, no matter what goes on in this dark and dirty, perverse generation, remember how to shine.